And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And great to have you with us on another edition of our podcast. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedules to be with us. And we want to remind our listeners today that the chat line is available for those of you that would like to weigh in and share your thoughts with us as we continue our discussion all week long here on the Grace Hour on the subject of the psychology of the inner life. And today we'll focus on fear. Is fear a normal emotion in our lives? I think all of us would agree that fear is everywhere in our world. The question is, does it have to fill our hearts and our lives? Well, my name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today is Pastor Schaller. We'll be your hosts for today's broadcast. And again, we invite you to join us if you have comments or if you have questions that you'd like to ask regarding our theme and subject today. Please don't hesitate to do so. Pastor Schaller, we've been given a unique subject here on our podcast today. The Bible certainly does say a lot about fear. And no one would argue the fact that fear just seems to dominate our world. You can't wake up in the morning or go to sleep at night if you're listening to any kind of a news broadcast, whether it's a television news broadcast or on the radio. Wars continue around the world. The price of gasoline, it still has not yet come down. People are wondering, how am I going to pay my bills in light of an economy that just seems to be unraveling at the seams? The list just goes on and on. Again, fear fills our world. The question for us today is, does it have to fill our hearts? And of course, I think we know the answer. It doesn't. As believers, you think of that statistic that we've heard so often. How many times in the Bible is there, or does it say in one form or another, do not fear? What is it? 366 times. That's one for every day, including those of you that are born on leap year, which includes you. Yeah. So there's a lot that God is trying to impart to us and speak to us about when it comes to fear, because, again, it is everywhere.
Yeah. You know, I have a little illustration that I used, you know, maybe you've heard it before. I've shared it in the pulpit. You know, fear is healthy in many ways. I mean, it keeps us from falling off a ladder, from walking in a highway, from taking wrong food, poisoning ourselves. It keeps us from bad people. I mean, fear has a role, important role in life. So, but there is a fear that does torment people, and there is a fear that's unhealthy. And that's what we're talking about. But before we go there, maybe we should talk about the value of fear and what is it. And I like to think of it as like a man standing beside railroad tracks with the timetable of the coming train, that it comes at 8:07, and I'm standing there at 8 o'clock anticipating it coming. It's going to be big and powerful. And what kind of fear do I have with regards to the train? I have a good kind. I respect it. I know what a train is. I know when is it coming. And I know the tracks that it will be on. All right, so that's all predictable, but it does have a healthy kind of, and a parent with a child at 8:05 will be saying to the child, now the train is coming. And just stand over here and, you know, just we're very respectful for that train. Is that fear? It is. It's a good kind.
Yeah.
It's like respect. It's understanding something, the system that's working, and nothing is capricious about it, like unpredictable. Like it's all according to like a order. Mm. But if you take the contradictory picture, the picture that that's different from that one is taking a rattlesnake by the tail, whipping it around your head a few times and throwing it into your bedroom, shutting the door. And now you're told to go into the bedroom. You know, well, that's a different kind of fear. That's a fear that kind of torments you. Why? Because the snake is unpredictable. I don't know where it is. I don't know. I know it's dangerous, but it could be, you know, in the bed. It could be under the bed. It could be, you know, anywhere in the room. Actually, you wouldn't go in the room.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. I mean, the healthy kind of fear would say stay away from there. So that's a good thing. But then when you're forced into the room, yeah, you have this other kind of feeling about it. And I mean, that's the kind of, that's Proverbs 1:33, and it's called the fear. It's a, you will not have a fear of evil. Like, so when you walk down the street in a bad neighborhood at midnight or at 2 in the morning, you don't know what is going to happen. But if you go to the train tracks and stand there with a timetable and you understand it, it's another kind of situation. It doesn't torment you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a problem. So there are people that want the tormented kind of fear. I mean, there are horror movies. There are, you know, the news that comes on. That's there's somebody stalking the streets. You know, there was one more murder in the, you know, in your neighborhood, and there are people that are plagued actually by it, and actually, to be honest, sometimes look for it. They want that, you know. But I think when we are Christ-centered and sober-minded, we are wanting our emotions to be stable. We want to fear God, but that fear of God will deliver us from the fear of evil so that you don't go to bed at night afraid of something that could suddenly happen that would be very bad.
Yeah, that healthy kind of fear is helpful. I mean, when I think of fear, and the way I describe it is they're threats to the self-life, whether they're physical threats or emotional threats, psychological threats, they threaten the self-life. And there's something about us that says, well, I have to preserve that self-life at all costs. It's always going to knock at the door of our hearts, isn't it, in one form or another. The question is, are we going to let it in? It would be like someone, a criminal or someone that you could see through your Ring camera on the door of your home, and they have a weapon and they're knocking at your door and they're telling you that they're the police or they're delivering a package or something, but you can see that that's not the case. You don't let them in. And I think there are certain fears that we have to be on guard for and say, you know what? I can't afford to let that fear into my heart.
Okay.
Let alone, you know, welcome it in for the night and offer it a bed to stay in. Because that will really impact our souls in a bad way. So we've got to be very, very careful of what it is that we allow entrance into our souls, into our thinking, into our minds.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think of Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated, you know, last beginning of the fall, and probably warned many times, I believe he was, about, you know, dangerous, the situation he was putting himself into. But did he fear?
Didn't seem like he did.
I mean, do you know?
It didn't seem like he did.
No, but you want to be wise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's actually clear to us that God wants us not to fear evil. Like, because that's one controlling element in your life, that you could be living in the fear of evil and make decisions based on that fear. And that way, then it is controlling you. But in his case, the evil hit him and stung, and it was very tragic, and we're sad about it, and for his family and the movement that he started, which is incredible. But to say that if you don't fear evil, that it won't somehow strike you, well, we know it can, and that Christ came, and we saw that he said, now is the power of the hour of darkness, and he knew that, but he wasn't afraid of it. You know, he knew that, but that wasn't going to be controlling his life, and he knew that the Father could deliver him, sending, you know, legions of angels, and he knew, but he also knew why he came to defeat it.
He was a courageous man, like so many that are spirit-filled and that have a healthy relationship with Christ. I'm thinking of the antithesis of fear, which is courage. And Jesus, you know, through his forgiveness, think about that. That's really interesting, because a man came to him and could not walk. And when they brought this man to Jesus, he said to them, or he said to the man, take courage, your sins are forgiven. What a strange statement. Take courage. What does the forgiveness of my sins have to do with having courage in my life? But there is a relationship, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
I mean, it's almost like somebody could say, well, Jesus, we brought him to you because he needs muscles. He doesn't need mercy. You know, he needs help physically. I'm not so sure that we're here to find forgiveness for this man. But God knows. In other words, he gets right to the heart of the issue. And he says about the human heart, it needs to be forgiven. It needs a relationship with the living God. That's going to foster courage in our hearts. And courage is what it takes to stand up to some of the fears that we find in our world.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Remember, God said it to Joshua in Joshua 1 that he had to be courageous. And Moses was incredibly courageous what he did. And, I mean, he didn't just do it for a couple weeks, but he lived for, you know, to be 120. He did it for 40 years of, like, incredible, like, problems, big problems, you know. I mean, like, thousands and thousands of problems and reasons to go back to Egypt and reasons to quit, like, give up on these people. I'm done with these people. He actually said it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, God, I'm done with these people. I mean, I can't do this, you know. So courage, we are called to be courageous. It says, quit you like men, 1 Corinthians 16. So it's a very good point.
And doesn't the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, reminds us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you touched upon the aspect of love last night in the midweek service here in Baltimore. And it made me think of what the Apostle John wrote. He says, you know, God's perfect love can cast out fear. So when we sense fear in our lives, you know, we might have this idea, well, I have to oppose it. I have to overcome it. But maybe the best way to do that would be to meditate and to reflect upon God's perfect love. And it will remove that fear. In other words, it doesn't seem like fear and God's perfect love can inhabit a person's soul.
Right.
Somebody's got to find the door.
Yeah. I mean, or the right kind of fear, like going to the train station and knowing the train is coming. I mean, that's a good kind of fear. So, you're right. It's the plaguing fear that produces anxiety, timidity, withdrawal, and protect myself. Versus the fear of God and then the embracing of truth and the courage to walk in it. And yeah, I have a fear, but it doesn't torment me. I know what a lie is, and I don't want to fall into a lie. I know what timidity is, and I don't want to be timid. I want to be courageous. it is all that healthy mindset that is critically important for us as believers, you know. I mean, we're like very sheepish people. Like, people are very afraid. Oh my gosh, they're very, they're, you know, you wonder, like, with this, this social media stuff and people being afraid of being rejected and marginalized and treated unfairly and all these kind of things that are happening psychologically in our society, and you feel sorry for people who are controlled by other people or controlled by the cultural trend of the day. You know, it's like, come on, we got to have something deeper in our lives.
It's almost like the world now just simply accepts the fact that every day we have to live in perpetual fear. Yeah. It's almost as if it's a given. This is the way it's going to be. So, you know, make your adjustments. You have to, fear knocks at the door of your heart. Just open the door, say, come on in. I've got a bed set up for you. Stay the night, stay as long as you want. But that's not the accurate way to really approach fear, because God's option of courage and faith is so much greater.
Now, you mentioned on one of these programs or in person, I don't remember, but something about your dad when we had a trial in Lenox, and you were talking with your dad, and you said, you know, well, I'm standing with the ministry, or something along those lines, and your dad said what?
He said, he said, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because loyalty meant a lot to him.
Yes.
And he valued it. And so when I expressed that kind of loyalty, he really appreciated it.
Really?
Yeah, he did. And he really didn't have a clear and thorough understanding of everything that was going on.
Yeah, like a spiritual context.
No.
But morally, how did he process it?
I said, these are difficult times in our ministry, during our church life. I said, but I am sticking. It's almost like I'm sticking with the guy who drove us here. And he just appreciated that. I mean, maybe that was his U.S. Marine background.
Yeah.
You know, you don't leave anybody behind.
Yeah.
Your attitude is, you know, you're brothers, you stick together, shoulder to shoulder, you get through it. And he appreciated that.
Yeah, right.
And I appreciated it too.
But he's encouraging you. And also, play it in reverse, and that is, I'm afraid, I'm timid, I'm withdrawing, I'm canceling out, and okay, so there is that position, and maybe there is I don't want to be part of something bad, so if it's time to get out of something, I suddenly realize something is morally bad or illegal or criminal or something. But I know the people. Yeah. I know their integrity. I know their honor. I know what their heart motivation is. We wouldn't be doing this work if the Lord hadn't tested our hearts and we made a decision to preach the gospel. Yeah. And what are we doing bad? Telling people that God loves them? Mm. Going into all the world to tell them that God loves them? So I'm in, you know. Yeah. I don't work with bad people. I work with good people, and I'm not bailing out.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping out. Why? To save yourself? Or, you know, what do you fear? You fear rejection, or you fear problems in the future? Well, like, we have to learn this, right? Mm. We have to mature. Mm. Yeah. The aged.
Yeah, you could. There you go. You could lose your reputation. I mean, you know, there's a lot of fear that surrounds a person's reputation. You know, what if people are going to think poorly about me? What if they think I'm this or I'm that? And you, again, because that's the self-preservation instinct kicks in. I've got to save myself. So if it means bailing out, jumping ship, I'm in, you know, or I'm out, however you want to look at it.
Yeah. And so you need to know who you are and who you are, what you are part of. And in Matthew 5, it says, there, blessed are you when men speak evil of you. And there is the bad press or the bad reputation or the bad words, and then there is a but he said you are a blessed person, because if they're speaking well of you, they did that with the false prophets. But the false prophets were they spoken well of, but then the man of God, and you look at it in history, you know, the man of God. I mean, George Whitefield, we saw that movie, The Great Awakening. Charles Spurgeon had bad press all the time in London. You know, we see that this can happen, but the Christian is not called to fear. He is called to have solid confidence in who he is, what he's believing, and what he's doing. Mm. And that's where, you know, that character building you up in truth so that you stand before God with truth and God honors you.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4:12.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think of what we read in Mark chapter 5, Jairus' daughter. He's the leader of the synagogue. He's a well-respected man. He's like the mayor of the town. And his daughter is sick to the point of death, so he seeks out Jesus and says, can you come? Can you heal her? And Jesus comes. And then, of course, there's an interruption because a woman with an issue of blood stops him, and she says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. And she does, and that kind of slows the parade of faith down to the house of Jairus. And then he heals the woman. She tells Jesus her whole story, spent all that she had to be healed. No one could do it, but she just knew he could, and he did. And then the news comes to Jairus. Don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. And I love what Jesus said. He turned to him and he said to him, don't fear. Keep believing.
Really?
I love that. I love that, because that really, I think that could be the essence of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, because so much tries to find its way into our hearts and minds that wants to produce that fear and threaten the self-life. And here's Jairus saying, oh, gosh, you know, maybe thinking, if you didn't stop and help that woman, maybe there's a chance, you know, that my daughter could still be alive. But he just said to him, don't let fear come into your heart. Keep believing. It's almost like the choice is so clear.
Yeah.
Is it going to be faith or is it going to be fear?
Oh.
A simple choice.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would be the first to admit publicly on the airwaves here today to say my first reaction often is fear.
Mm.
But then I begin to think, and I begin to think in faith.
Okay.
And that's when the promises of God start to be reflected in my soul. I start to think about how there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and how God ordains our steps, and you know, everything changes. Everything changes.
Yeah.
Because that's the choice,
good.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Fear or faith.
Yeah. That's very good. That ministers to me right now a lot. It's very good. Faith. Oh yeah. Faith. Like, you know, there's a proverb, we read it in the devotional, 16:20, and It's about he that handles a matter wisely finds good. And we said two things about handling a matter wisely. It takes faith, like handling something. Esther handled it with Haman, the evil man. Abraham handled things in his lifetime. Joseph in Egypt handled things. You know, David handled many different things. But why he that handles a matter wisely finds good. So what does it mean to handle something wisely? I think two things is what wisdom, and the second one is faith. And that's what you just shared. Faith. How are you going to get out of Egypt? We're going to have to go with Moses, and we're going to go by faith, you know. Faith. How are we going to follow Jesus? By faith. It's not going to be so clear all the time. It won't always be so obvious, but we have to live by faith.
Yeah. It's the best way to live. You think Jesus in the boat with his disciples, I mean, this helps for me to put things in perspective. He goes into the boat, the great storm arises. I mean, I think the Greek word for that storm in Matthew chapter 8 was seismos. We get that word seismology, how they measure earthquakes. So it was an earthquaking experience on water. And yet we find Jesus, he's sleeping.
Yeah.
The disciples are panicking. They're crying out. They said, save us. We're dying. We perish. And then they even brought an accusation. Don't you even care?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, nobody stopped to say, wait a minute. Let's think back about Jesus' resume.
Yeah.
He's healed people. He raises the dead. He can do anything. We should probably get some rest too. He's sleeping. We should take this as an opportunity to get some rest. None of them think that way. They panic. Fear dominates their souls. But yet he's sleeping in the boat.
Yeah.
A reminder to us that what causes panic and fear in our lives is not a problem for Jesus.
Mm.
It's an opportunity for him to catch some rest. Incredible.
Yes.
But
yes.
True.
Yeah, and then after the boat settled and the storm was settled and he rebuked the storm and the wind and everything, and then he said, like, how was your problem, O ye of little faith? So, but then if we got into their minds and hearts and what they were processing, you could say, what have you learned through this? You
know, yes.
What have you learned through this trial? You know, and what would they say? They could say, I preached on it in Latvia, actually. They could say, our hearts are enlarged. Like there's enlargement of heart in the trial. Like I understand it better. Number two, enlightenment. I get it. I see Jesus. He's totally different from everybody else. And then thirdly, a stability. And say, I don't think I'm going to be looking at the storms the same way. I think in my instability on the boat, I found the stability that is in Christ.
Yeah, I think they did come away with some valuable lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, we know one of them. They said, wow, even the winds and the seas obey him.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, you come away.
Look at him. Yeah, like look at him.
Yeah.
Nobody's like him.
Yeah, he can do anything.
Yeah.
He might even be God.
Yeah, boy, that must have been incredible.
Yeah, really. You know, some of the impact that chronic fear can have on a person's life. I mean, really, it can impact a person's physical life. We can understand that, and we're told that fear weakens our immune system. It can cause cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems such as ulcers. I mean, you can just sense it physically when fear grips your heart. You can sense the impact that it's having upon your body physically. So there's lots of good reasons to confront fear with a faith that's based upon, well, it's the faith of the Son of God that he's given to us. And if we can confront that fear with faith, we're going to learn some valuable lessons.
Do you think that we should be proactive with our minds and fill our minds with what, you know? If the mind is, let's say, somehow neutral, it'll gravitate to what?
Fear.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, you have to be proactive.
Yeah, like what I read, what I look at, what I view, what I talk about, who my friends are. Would you personally like have a friendship with somebody that is like, you know, really tearing down, you know, or just afraid or timid? Yeah, I could be a friend to anybody, right? But I want to be equipped to help them out of that state of mind that they live in.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And if I can't help them out, I maybe wouldn't be with them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that might sound harsh to some people, but, you know, if you walk with wise people, you become wise. But a companion of fools, you're going to harm your own soul. That Proverbs 13:20 principle. So it's very important. It doesn't mean that you don't love them or you're going to stop praying for them. Or when the opportunity presents itself, you can have that ministry to them.
Or what if you have an option to watch a movie and there's a horror movie, the chainsaw mass killer.
yeah.
Okay. A horror movie or, you know, a Hallmark movie, nice little story.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to put in your mind?
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you want? I want an adrenaline rush. Give me the chainsaw. Yeah. You know, like, but I mean, you it's your call. Mm-hmm. Is everybody listening? I mean, I'm having fun a little bit, but also saying something very important. My life will be defined by what am I thinking about? What am I talking about? Who am I hanging around? Mm. What is our conversation and how do we love? And the Bible is saying all this good stuff about our faith and about Christ. So,
I just think stockpiling truth in your heart is a great asset. It's so important. Because sometimes you might go to church or you might go to a Bible study or a meeting with other believers and say to yourself, I've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. How is this helping me? Well, it might not be helping you at the moment, which I'm sure it will, but it may be that you're putting something in your soul that's going to save you and deliver you from something that's coming down the road.
Yeah.
You're just putting all that truth in your heart. It's like the psalmist saying, you know, your word, I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some great temptation that lies ahead, but you've put so much time and investment into placing God's promises in your heart, you're going to be ready for that temptation.
Mm.
You're going to overcome it because of the word that's dwelling richly in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a paper here that says, fear can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain, such as the hippocampus. This can make it even more difficult to regulate fear and can leave a person anxious most of the time. I think that's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
To someone in chronic fear, the world looks scary, and their memories confirm that.
Wow.
Yeah. It can become who I am. Now, I know we know a lot of people, but I know some people that are just constantly happy. They're just generally happy people.
Yep.
It's simple.
Yeah. You know?
Actually, I asked one brother who's been around a lot, I go, who do you think are the happiest people in the world? And he said, the Filipinos.
Mm.
I go, really? Tell me, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, they are lighthearted. They smile a lot. They're generally happy. They do have poverty. Mm-hmm. Life can be difficult, but they're generally happy, community-centered, happy people. I mean, okay, I'm not trying to overemphasize that. But then I go, well, who else? He said, the Indians.
Mm.
And I go, you know, when I've been in India, I've seen, like, happy people.
Mm.
And I kind of just thinking about how serious we can be, how everything is so serious, how you know, we should be afraid of this and afraid of that and so on, you know. And we're stereotyping, I know that. But I'm trying to make a point. I think I can decide what my disposition is in life. I can be thankful. The Bible says, in everything be thankful.
Mm.
I can be worshipful. We read that in the Psalms. I can be prayerful. I can be edifying. We read that in Romans 14, that we are to receive one another. We preached about that in Philemon last night.
Mm-hmm.
Receive one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. Rejoice a lot. Clap your hands, all your people. Right? Lift up holy hands. Also, what you read, what you watch, what you're thinking about, and have courage.
Yeah.
Live in faith and have a ministry to people and step outside of yourself and care about others. Mm. What a great little combination and commentary on the subject.
Amen. It really is.
Really?
Because when you do those things and those disciplines are incorporated into your life, you have courage. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes to stand up in a world that's just so filled and dominated by fear.
Yep.
It's wonderful. And we have that opportunity, don't we? I mean, mm-hmm. I think our listeners have the opportunity to be a part of that today as we talk about this subject and mm-hmm. talk about this theme. It's just so wonderful to think that God says, look, I'm not going to give you a spirit of fear.
Mm.
So when you start to become fearful, you got right away, you know, this is not from God. So yeah. I'm going to find out what is from God, those disciplines that you just mentioned.
Mm.
I'm going to find those and I'm going to incorporate them in my life. Little by little,
yeah.
you know, yeah. just being thankful for the little things, just, you know, committing everything to God in prayer. I'm going to worship when there's an opportunity to worship. I'm going to edify on purpose the people around me. I mean, start to do those things and courage starts to be developed in your soul. And that's a great way to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've come to the conclusion of today's broadcast, Pastor Schaller. Any final thoughts on the subject of fear? It's normal. It's a normal emotion. We all experience it. It's, again, it fills our world, but thank God it doesn't have to fill our hearts.
Yeah, I mean, we're just talking like as brothers from the Word, and we are encouraging. Hopefully some of this is useful for people or might hit a chord and like resonate in my heart that I can not be so careless about what I watch, what I talk about, and so on, you know, but God has called us to faith. And I like that, what you said about that, that mm-hmm. we live by faith. A lot happens when we live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, friends. We do want to remind you, coming up tomorrow, the final broadcast of this week on the psychology of the inner life. Tomorrow will be the cure for sin and shame in our lives. So you'll want to tune in and join us for the next Grace Hour podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope you have a great day. Until tomorrow at this time, may God bless you.